Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, and welcome back to Hope for Today and our series on family matters. Thank you for joining co-hosts Najee E. Brown and Zenobia Bailey. Hi, Zenobia.
Hello. As always, it's my pleasure to be here with you and with everyone.
Well, thank you. We do thank our listeners, don't we?
Yes, we do. We absolutely do.
You know, I went back through some old papers, and I noticed that we started this series back in January 12th, and here we are in the month of April already. And it
wow.
has truly been a pleasure to be able to rediscover for some for the first time, and then just to be reminded of God's intention for the Christian family today. And as we continue with our podcast for today, it's part two on the Christian family and the children's role. So a couple of weeks ago, we talked about what's sort of expected of the children within the family. We've already covered the husband's role and the wife's role, and we do welcome or offer our guests to go back, our listeners to go back and listen to those podcasts. And at some point, doesn't have to be right away, but at some point, because it does make the series kind of come together. It connects it in a very succinct way. But the last time we were talking about the children's role, I introduced a particular passage, and that is Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. And it said, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." And then it says, "Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on earth." And we talked about that passage, and we also read in Matthew chapter 15, verse 4, that passage says, "For God said, honor your father and your mother, and he who speaks evil of father or mother, let him be put to death." And then, of course, in Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, it says, "Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you." And then we know that it's pleasing, well-pleasing to the Lord when children obey their parents. They're obedient to their parents in all things. So we left off a couple of weeks ago talking about what does honoring your parents look like practically as the children live out their lives. What does it look like? And we touched on a few of those things that we shared, and then we said that we would come back today and talk about how caring for and remembering aging and or elderly parents is a way in which we can honor them. And so, Zenobia, I know you have a lot to share, and so do I, in that we are boomers. We've got living aged parents, and both of us have been in a caregiving role. So how is that honoring our parents? How is it that we are remembering our aged parents and caring for them? And how does that equate to honoring them?
Well, it's really, it's so huge. But I guess I'll start by saying it's looking out for them. As a parent has looked out for his or her child, It's the same thing on the reverse side. We couldn't do for ourselves when we were infants and toddlers and youngsters, and even as we grew and became adolescents and teenagers and young adults, we still needed some guidance. And just as the child's role or the child is always going to be the child, but not child in terms of infancy and toddlerhood, but as the child's role in his or her formative years are to heed the parent and trust the parent. And I know I'm not directly answering your question, but I'm going to do my best.
So you are.
I do see that the parent, an aging parent, and particularly a parent who is in need of caregiving, has a role to also to trust and rely on the discretion, which we are assuming, and perhaps I shouldn't, but I'm going to assume because we only have these few minutes, assuming that the child's intent, his daughter or son's intent is to do the best for them and to act in their best interest. And that is what honoring them is about, you know, acting in their best interest on their behalf. And, you know, as I thought about us coming to this time today, just from our last time together until today, I thought, wow, I'm not representative of that. Although I have my mom with me here, physically here, I've been her caregiver or helping to be a caregiver all along her journey as she negotiates and her family walks beside her through her Alzheimer's disease. I just feel in particular that I'm just falling so short at times. Just going to be very candid here, audience, very candid, Nausea, very transparent. Feels like I'm falling so short because I don't, at the end of the day and of any day, and even along the day, I see where I should have or could have, at least I wanted to have done better. But recently, some scriptures have really hit me in the face. One that comes to mind is Matthew 7:12, and it says, "So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you." And then that takes me straight into the scripture that says in Mark chapter 12, verse 31, love your neighbor as yourself. And my neighbor is my mom. My neighbor is my husband, but I'm going to use my mom right now. My neighbor is my mom, that I'm to love her as I love myself. Another scripture, Romans 13:10, says love does no harm to a neighbor. And that doesn't necessarily mean physical harm. That could be verbal. That could be mental. That could be physical. That could be emotional. Whether I intend it or not, I know when I've caused some discomfort. And I would say for a person that's battling Alzheimer's, that discomfort would be harm. They would perceive it and receive it as harm. Then it takes me straight to, now this, I mean, they all have hit me hard, but 1 Corinthians, our love chapter, we always refer to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 as the love chapter. Love is patient, kind, does not dishonor others, not easily angered. I get angry a lot. Always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres when I feel like I cannot go any further. If I love her, I've got to step back, pray, and call upon the power that I have in Jesus the Christ for him to help me to put yet one step and one action in front of the next. Because if I love her, love never fails.
That's beautiful, and I do appreciate and thank you for being transparent and very candid. You know, it's hard. I've been there. It's very hard, and I think that one of the struggles that I had in caring for my mom, along with my sisters, is the kind of the role reversal, the reversed role. It didn't seem right, you know. So I had to work kind of through that process. And then going back to that word honor, we were trying to, as sisters, we were trying to honor our mom's wishes in that she did not want to leave her home, the home that she had lived in more than 50 years. And so we had to work through what that looked like, and we had to come to grips with the decision that in fact, did honor her in that a place where she could go and be safe and be well cared for was honoring her. And so we had to kind of go through that transition. But it's tough. It's tough.
It is.
And for anyone who's going through it, you've got to find your strength in Jesus Christ, and you're going to grapple with things automatically because it's tough. It's not an easy journey, and so
no.
I commend you for sharing with us, you know, just how you've been convicted in the passages that have come to mind, and what you're going through as a caregiver, as a daughter. And it's okay because God knows, right?
Yes, He does know. But, when you get convicted, then it's not okay because you need to allow Him to restructure some things. And that's been happening. It's been a beautiful thing to see that it's okay to ignore, at least I think it is, to ignore some of the repetitiveness. Because we're both in this together. This is not all about me, and neither is it all about her. And to the listeners, I would like to encourage you in that. Don't feel guilty by the fact that you are considering yourself in, you know, as you go, because this concerns everyone. This doesn't just concern the one in need of the care, because if we take that posture, sooner than later, the one who is doing the caregiving is going to need a caregiver.
That is so true.
And in terms of honoring, I think you hit it right on the nose, Naja, that honoring does not necessarily mean abiding by what their wishes are as much as you can. Of course, you consider that. But even when you can do it, perhaps in the beginning of someone's need, no matter what it is, it doesn't have to be Alzheimer's. It could be absolutely anything. It could be recovering from a surgery. It could be cancer. It could be whatever. That in the beginning you may be able to honor and accommodate their desires, but things change and their needs will change and your needs will change. And so we have to be realistic and garner up assistance where we can get it, whether it be from siblings or friends, from a program or programs. No one should ever feel like they can or need to walk this alone, even if you don't have family and loved ones. Every state, I was on another show where we talked about this to some degree, that every state has an agency on aging, and that's a place to begin. If you feel that you are alone because you need help, you cannot honor your parent if you don't take care of yourself.
That's so true, yes. Because they're relying on us. If they
yes.
are in a situation where they need our care, they're relying on us, and if we're not of the mind and the wherewithal and able body to be able to care for them, then we're not doing what we should be doing. So that is so true. Well, we touched on quite a few of the ways in which children can honor their parents, and we spent quite a bit of time on caring for and remembering aging and or elderly parents. But I just want to recap a few that we talked about a couple of weeks ago, and that is just letting the parents be the parents and then accepting the parents' discipline and or instruction and or counsel.
Yes.
And then obeying, of course, established household rules, and then having a heart for service and contributing to the family's greater good. And then I suggested that children think about praying for their parents as parents pray for their children. And then I want to add this. Just sometimes just saying thank you.
Mm.
Thank you for who you are and the fact that you brought me into this world. Just saying thank you. Just two small words, thank you, to our parents. And with go ahead.
No, I'm saying that's really good. I like that.
Okay.
Gratefulness. I like it. Thank you
yes.
for saying that.
being grateful. So with that, we're almost out of time, and we're going to invite our listeners to join in a couple of weeks, and that would be April 19th, as we consider what is the number one enemy of the Christian family today. So we thank you for listening. We want to say God bless you, and we look forward to you joining us in a couple of weeks. Do you want to say anything, Zenobia?
Thank you, everybody. We really love you. Have a wonderful evening.